Radio Chaser is brought to you by Shoes. They're like hats for your feet. Shoes.
Triple M. Sydney, a city of coffee, beer, wine, and fear. Mainly the fear that drinking so much coffee, wine, and beer was a bad idea. It's to cities what hangovers are to drinking. But we love it. So sit back and take the ultimate cure. 1 hour of pure, uncut Radio Chaser.
Welcome to the show. My name is Dom Knight. Charles Firth here. Andrew Hansen here as well. Today we will ask, is it okay to ask, is it okay to be white? Pauline Hanson managed to outsmart the government yesterday. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll have a chat with an actual detective. No characters, no Andrew Hansen putting on a voice. An actual detective to find out what he actually does, how he chases people down, how he surveils kids if he has to. If parents from the rich eastern suburbs ask him to track their kids, it's going to be fascinating.
Yes, he's quite a character, that guy.
Right, a real detective. So, and his name is Monsieur Clouseau.
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting. No, he's coming up. And we're also squealing, we might add, we're squealing in hysterics with royal baby fever here today on Radio Chaser. Oh, yeah, there's another royal bubba on the way. Another royal bun is in the oven, it's been revealed, with Harry and Meghan out and about. They're out and about, like, meeting people at the Opera House today. So if Meghan chunders all over you while you're meeting her, that is why. She's pregnant. It's very, very exciting news.
And is she going to keep it?
It's a dilemma, isn't it? Is she going to keep it? On this very program, I attacked our tabloid journos for all that stuff about, is she, the folders carrying, hiding a baby bum? Oh, that's so trashy, that's so terrible. Just let her enjoy her tour, and then 5 seconds later, the palace goes, she's up the duff, officially up the duff. So nowadays, now their entire tour has been overwhelmed by the potential fetus that's travelling around with her.
Look, I haven't been invited to any baby shower yet, so wondering maybe she's in two minds.
Well, she's probably been listening to the show and your questions about whether she's going to keep the baby. Well, anyway, it's all that everybody's talking about, so let's listen in and see what they're saying.
Here's what they said
about the royal baby.
Scott Morrison, still the Prime Minister.
I want to congratulate the royal couple because children are a special blessing from God. Unless they're gay.
Meghan Markle, royal mum-to-be. I'm not really on board with Harry's plan to name the baby Adolf. Prince Harry, finally doing something useful.
I really hope this news doesn't overshadow the Invictus Games. Oh shit, it totally has, hasn't it?
Dick Smith used to describe himself in ads as the electronic dick.
Oh, got another baby? Well, nobody listened to my warnings about overpopulation. Well, I'm just going to have to start culling numbers here. Hey, I'm solving the population puzzle.
Prince Charles, doddery future king.
One could say that Harry was being Meghan's cheeky little tampon. Or am I still the only person who says that?
Prince Philip, doddery great-grandfather.
I just hope the child isn't another bloody ginger.
James Hewitt, ex-lover of Harry's mum who bears an uncanny resemblance to him.
I'm really delighted for my son. I mean, my old friend Diana's son, I'm supposed to say.
The poo jogger.
Great things can happen when you take your clothes off and squat.
That's what they said.
Radio Chaser, Triple M.
And look, if it wasn't exciting enough that the royal couple are in town, royal baby mania has just taken it to the next level. And gosh, they're going to huge degrees to try and stop us from becoming a republic, aren't they? So Meghan's pregnant. They're wandering around. They've been to the zoo.
Do you think that was the plan? Do you think that the royal family went, okay, you can get married into the royal family, but you've got to then go and get pregnant and shore up Australia by being pregnant in Australia.
It would be nice to imagine that they cared that much about whether we were part of the thing. But look, they've done the zoo, they've done the Opera House, they've basically finished with Sydney. Now that's all there is to see. I think they're at some function at Government House at the moment, but it's incredibly exciting for royal watchers and just ordinary people to have the glamorous couple among us. And it's time now to get the inside story. And for that, we're very privileged to have online, once again, the official palace spokesman, Crispin Tallow Witherington Poncy Pants. He is keeper of the fourth crow's testicle. Hello, Crispin.
Top of the morning to you.
What a lovely surprise that the Duchess of Sussex is up the duff.
Well, indeed, old boy. I mean, who could have predicted that pairing up TV's sexiest actress with England's horniest playboy shag rabbit would result in pregnancy?
So has the palace put any extra precautions in place, due to Meghan's condition?
Harry didn't use any precautions, so why should we?
I mean, for Megan's comfort.
Oh, I see, old boy. Well, yes, of course. I mean, this morning we sent her to Taronga Zoo because every pregnant woman loves being surrounded by powerful-smelling animal turds. You know, a defecating elephant is just the ticket for a bit of morning sickness.
Yes, absolutely. Well, don't know, the world of good, I suppose. So where did the royal couple head after that?
Well, you know how the royals adore riding horses. The logical next stop was that splendid horse racing billboard you chaps built on Sydney Harbour. Used to be some sort of theatre, I believe. And to celebrate the visit, Alan Jones demanded we beam Harry's nude photos from Las Vegas on the sails.
Why would Alan demand that?
Well, apparently Mr. Jones has a business interest in Harry's knob.
Right. So what's next on the itinerary for the royal couple, Crispin?
Oh, next, you say? Well, tomorrow they're off to Dubbo, where Her Royal Highness will meet with a fellow group of expectant mothers.
Oh, that's lovely.
I don't think she'll have much in common, to be honest. All the Dubbo mothers are 14 years old.
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by Shoes, the perfect accessory for your next Centrelink appointment. Shoes. Triple M.
In Canberra politics,
Yuck.
Big news.
Yuck.
Pauline Hanson almost did something last night.
Oh, bless.
Almost achieved something.
Yeah, what's she almost achieved?
She almost got past a neo-Nazi meme in the Senate, like basically to support this neo-Nazi meme in the Senate.
It was quite a cunning trick from her. Yeah. She mustn't have thought of it. It was...
So it's this thing called It's Okay to Be White, and the idea is, and it's well known to be a sort of white supremacist meme that's been going around the internet, and it's sort of saying whites have it bad too, I suppose, is her message.
It's a massive call for white people to go around claiming to be massive victims, looking around a parliament that's almost entirely white.
Anyway, but the point is that what happened, so this is what happened, is the Liberals accidentally... they now claim they accidentally passed it last... They voted in favour of it last night. So the timeline is Pauline Hanson, about a month ago, announced that she was going to try and get a racist meme passed in the Senate. The Liberals came out and immediately opposed it. Then, this is what they've claimed this morning, they forgot about the fact that they'd opposed it, and then they voted in favour of it last night. Then several of the senators then tweeted out about how great it was that they'd almost passed this motion. And then this morning, they came out and went, oh, wait a minute, that was a huge mistake. We forgot that we'd, said yes to it. We'd said we were going to oppose it and apologised.
Yeah, well, anybody could make the mistake of opposing something and then strongly supporting it and then sending out lots voting for it. Anybody could do that.
There is a man in this very city who once forgot that it would be a bad idea to wear a Nazi suit to a party, to dress up as a member of the SS. It happens. People forget that the Nazis were bad.
But anyway, so, well, my theory is, though, that they were all drunk. Like, that's surely the only sort of
thing. It could be. But look,
it could be that. Or maybe it's just that they're all morons.
I think it's the oratory of Pauline Hanson, because if you listen to the speech, the stirring speech that she gave, look, I think everyone would vote for it.
Hi, I'm Pauline Hanson. I'm just an ordinary person on an ordinary parliamentary salary of 200k, and I'm here to stick up for a class of Australians that too often get forgotten. Morons. Morons are people too.
Hear, hear.
Morons vote. Morons have jobs. Lots of morons drive cars. Some morons even enjoy spreading racist memes. And really, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Point is, some people are just morons. Maybe I'm a moron.
Yeah.
But when you're a moron, you can't change that. It's just who you are. Which is why, next time you see a moron being a moron, remember... it's okay to be a moron.
Hear, hear, hear,
hear. Radio Chaser, Triple M.
Yes, Radio Chaser with you. And look, Charles and Andrew, I need a bit of help here. If you don't mind me just taking over the show for a moment. Mm-hmm. If you're an Uber driver, can you please give us a call, 133-53? I've got a question to ask you that's been keeping me awake at nights, actually, which is my Uber rating.
Mm.
It's 4.61, and I thought that's all right. You know, it's... bigger than 4.5, that's okay. But then I did some research on this. I was Googling it yesterday, And I discovered that if you're on 4.6 or below, so just almost where I am, you won't get picked up by a lot of Uber drivers. They'll just reject you. They'll think you're a jerk and go to the next person. So I'm on the cusp of never getting an Uber again, basically. And what I want to know is, why do Uber drivers mark people down? What have I done wrong? How can I be less of a jerk? I want to suck up to Uber drivers. I want to get fives. How do I do that?
Maybe we need a personality counsellor to call in as well, Tom.
Some sort of life coach to just tell you how not to be a complete and utter annoying bastard at all times.
Because I think this might be above the pay grade of an Uber driver. In terms
of patronising, that's 4 stars. I took an Uber last night and actually earlier today as well. I was really trying to suck up. I was really kind of going, where are you from? Are you having a great day? And just pretending to really care about their lives. And it clearly hasn't worked. My rating is still stuck at 4.61.
Can you watch it go up and down in real time? Like can you tell what they've given you?
I actually don't know, because the number hasn't shifted. Maybe it only shifts once a week or something. But if someone can explain this process to me, 1-333-53, if you're an Uber driver or you just know how this works, I'd love to know, because I'm clearly unpopular. People clearly are not enjoying my company in their Uber. I'm paying them and they still don't like me. Like, I thought at least you could buy friends in this world.
Well, no, Dom, I think finally you've been confronted with an actual measure, like a proper measure of how shit you really are, which is, you know, something you don't normally get. And so we should thank the Uber company for providing this score.
What's your rating?
It's wonderful.
Rating, smartass?
Mine is like 7.9 stars.
I'm 4.61. Come on, I'll be honest.
My rating, look, I'll look it up on the app. It's four. I've got 4.82. I don't know why I'm less than five. I don't know why I'm less than five, but I'm a lot higher than you. 4.82.
You're very arrogant.
Well, no, they enjoy my company. They enjoy my company. It's probably just because I know you. Like they see me get in the car.
TV. Oh, I've got Andrew Hansen. Oh, do one of your voices.
Yeah. I'm 4.72, so I'm better than you.
You're not even that much more famous than me.
Everyone's better than Dom. Look, you and I would be higher, Charles, if we weren't on this radio show. I think Dom is bringing us down.
1-333-53, please explain. I've just got to, at least for 5 minutes in an Uber ride, feign being a decent human being. Here's Creedence on Triple M, Fortunate Son. This is Radio Chaser.
104.9 Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by Shoes. Coming soon to Byron Bay. Shoes. Triple M.
It's Radio Chaser on Triple M. Calling all Uber drivers. 1-333-53. I want to know why my rating is low. 4.61. Apparently, 4.6 or below, people will stop picking you up, and that would be a bit of a disaster. 1-333-53. Charles and Andrew think it's my personality. They could be right.
Appearance too, dress, also what you wear. I mean, there are so many things wrong with you that are dragging your score way down.
Your smell?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm amazed it's that high, actually. Did you reset your account recently? And
let's go to the phones. 1-333-53. Let's go to Sam. Hello, Sam.
Hello, gents. How are we?
Now, are you an Uber driver? Do you have any suggestions?
I'm not an Uber driver. I'm an Uber passenger, but I've worked out how to crack the system.
Oh, yeah. That's what I need.
Hello.
How?
I need to cheat. Yeah.
So the way to make sure that your rating is always perfect is before you get out, you ask them how much the trip was. So then they tell you how much the trip was, they have to put your rating in front of you. So they're not going to give you a crap rating in front of you, are they? Because then you'll give them a crap rating. So they'll always give you five. That's why I've been using Uber for, like, I don't know, about nine years before it was legal in New South Wales. And my rating is perfect.
That's so brilliant.
Wow. That's extraordinary. Gee, you've gamed the system. So you have a 5 rating, do you? 5 stars.
5 stars.
That's unbelievable.
That's so awesome.
I have a feeling, though, that with Dom it would be different. Like, they'd want to sort of show how much they hate him.
Yeah, that's true. That might inspire them to give me a lower rating.
Yeah, it's true. They go, yeah. Look, mate, I'm giving you one. If I could give you zero, I would.
You might be a really nice person, which is why you bring up to help. Thank you, though, for that. 5 stars from me. Ron's in North Avoca. Hello, Ron.
How are you going?
Are you a driver?
I do a bit of part-time Uber driving.
Excellent. How do I get 5 stars? What am I doing wrong?
Well, my theory is maybe they've listened to the show, you know, and they know who you are, you know?
That's very sad. People generally don't recognise me. That's very awkward. I never say that I, you know, work in radio or I'm part of the Chaser. I'm used to the hatred that follows from that.
I think that's a genius theory.
And maybe they have the odd punts, you know, on the Everest or something like that.
Could be.
Maybe if I said, have you heard that show Radio Chaser? Isn't that terrible? And that way they'd be like, oh, I couldn't possibly be that guy.
That'll work, definitely. You've got a 5 stars out of me.
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you very much. 133353 Uber drivers, how can I get 5 stars? Jim's in Manly.
Hello.
What do I need to do, Jim?
Mate, if you make a big fuss or comment on the fact that I'm an Anglo-Saxon Uber driver, you're getting one from me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Really? Do people do that? Do people do that?
They can't believe I'm white.
Really? And do you say to them it's okay to be a white Uber driver?
Oh, mate, I just don't say anything. I just say they got a couple of rocks in their head, if that's the case.
Well, Dom, do you do sort of semi-racist rants every time you hop in an Uber?
No, I'm massively politically correct. I try and suck up and, oh, you're from Indonesia. Oh, that's a wonderful place, so diverse. I'd love to go back and visit. I still don't get 5 stars.
Oh, mate, well, no wonder they're marking you down. How nauseating and patronising. They'll give you one for
maybe
that.
Do you take points off of being politically correct, Jim? Maybe I'm just being annoying.
No, you know what, you say what you want and I'll judge you on what you say, that's it.
Jim, can we do a deal where, like, you give me heaps of Uber rides and we give each other 5 stars? Is that possible under the... Would you get sacked?
Yeah, we... Nah, not you, mate.
All right. Yeah, no. Good, I'm getting projected live on air by an Uber driver. Let's see, go to go. Peter. Hey, Peter. Are you a driver, Peter?
Well, I was a driver. I've just finished. I gave that car to my mum.
All right. How do you lose points? What are you dock points for?
Okay, so primarily it's about people stuffing me around, if you know what I mean. So when you put the pin somewhere, put it in the right spot. So you know, sometimes Google Maps gets the address wrong or something like that. So don't have the pin 300 metres away from where you are, because then I just can't find you.
That's a good point, because I used to live in the city, and the cars, if they went the other way around, it took about 10 minutes for them to reverse and be on the right side of the road. Maybe that's part of it. That would be very annoying. Yeah,
did you not bother to waddle across the road, Dom?
Why should I walk? I think we might have cracked the code here. Yeah, great point, Peter. Thank you very much for that. I will try and waddle in future.
Yep.
Dom, can I just ask, you didn't actually used to catch Uber rides to get to your Uber, did you? Because 300 metres to me sounds like, you know, what you would usually take an Uber for.
I think you might have solved it, Charles.
Ooh, hello. And don't we love a good meme, ladies and gentlemen? We love a good meme. So does Pauline Hanson. She loves a good white supremacist meme. You know, a lot of talk today about how the Liberals and the Nationals all agreed to vote in favour of Pauline Hanson's neo-Nazi meme, originally devised on some internet trolling website called 4chan, and the meme says it's okay to be white. Well, the vote was struck down, but only just, because a whole lot of Liberals voted in favour. A very confusing business. Let's just have a listen to what actually went down in the room.
Boy ticket! I call the Australian Senate to order.
Jobs, housing, putting food on the table. These are the things that matter to everyday Aussies, and we need to discuss them right now here in the Senate.
Hear, hear.
But first, let's all vote on a white supremacist internet meme.
Oh, what's the meme?
I love memes, they're so funny.
The meme says it's okay to be white.
Yeah, could we instead vote on the girl with the funny face who says, oh my god?
Why not? That's important to everyday people. Right, all in favour of the girl with the funny face who says, oh my god?
Aye.
Oh, the ayes have it. Oh my god, girl, carried. Well done, senators. Families will thank you for this milestone in Australian history. Certainly. All in favour of the Nyan Cat? Nyan Cat defeated.
Hear, hear.
Now, the next issue that everyday Aussies are all concerned about, where should we situate our embassy in Israel?
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
Yeah, so we were talking last week about this story about how North Shore parents have been hiring private investigators to follow around their kids.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Just to sort of check up on them. And
are they taking drugs? Yeah. Are they hanging out with the wrong people?
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Going to chess club too often. I don't know what the deal is.
But fraternising with the poor.
So we decided we might as well have a chat to an actual private investigator.
What an amazing job that must be.
Yeah, find out what goes on. We've got Phil Hunt on the line. Phil, are you there?
Yes, mate.
G'day, mate. Now, have you ever followed around a kid for the parents?
Mate, I have, actually, and lately we've got a want for more of it.
Right, so this is a growing trend then?
Mate, look, it is. It's more and more. You know, of course, we're used to the marital jobs and the custody battles, but this is, you know, it is new, yes.
What a fascinating thing. How do you follow around a child, if you don't mind me asking, without seeming a bit sus? Because I would think that would be... I wouldn't imagine how to do that.
Oh, look, they're teenagers and they go about their evenings, mate, as they would. We had one the other day where they were attending the opening of a menswear store in the city. And thereafter, they're out for dinner and then, you know, they hit the local nightclub. But, look, their fathers are just wary. The fathers have got a lot of money, quite obviously. The kids are driving around in C63 Mercs these days at the age of 18, which is, you know, good on them. But their fathers, I'd say, are quite well off. They've got big businesses and they're concerned about who their daughters are seeing or dating or socialising with.
How much do you charge for a night like that?
Oh, look, it's an hourly rate that we charge, and that's usually around about $120 an hour plus your expenses.
Is it harder to tailor like a teenager, a young kid, than to do the normal, I guess, sort of marriage type work that's bread and butter of your agency? Is it harder to follow these kids?
Look, it is, but you know, I've got young fellows, of course, that aren't much older than these young girls or the fellas. So, you know, we can always use female investigators. And you know, younger blokes and girls.
I saw that in the documentary 21 Jump Street, Once Upon a Time. Do you use gadgets? Is there sort of like a Q-style, like hidden cameras and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, look, we use a lot of covert cameras these days that either on our body or handheld that nobody really would be suspicious of, and they're all high definition these days. And the evidence can be transferred straight to your phone. And I can have it sent straight to the client.
Wow.
He'll have it within minutes. So if there's,
and have you ever uncovered something where, you know, you've seen them taking drugs or pashing the wrong man or something? I don't know.
Definitely, but you know, that's something that's confidential. I'll let the client know what my view of that is, or what I thought it may or may not have been. And then he takes it from there. So
I love it. What about? I've got to ask you. What about disguises? Do you ever get dressed up in a disguise? Like, do you disguise yourself as a teenager, like Steve Buscemi?
Look, as a surveillance investigator, you should have a full boot of a bag full of eight different changes of clothing, from suits to board shorts, thongs.
I love it.
And numerous peak hats.
What else?
Whatever.
Have you ever disguised yourself as a letterbox? Something like that.
No, I haven't thought of that one.
A pantomime horse.
I'll get around to it. But I could set up a static camera in the letterbox.
That's pretty extraordinary. Look, thank you so much, Phil. What an incredible thing.
Yeah.
And good to know, I guess, as a parent of a daughter nowadays, that your services are available.
Would I be able to come out on a sting with you one day, Phil?
Mate, not a problem in the world. Not
you just have to tail him.
I'm going to take you up on that, Oliver.
Thank you so much. Phil Hunt there. What a fascinating man. What a great job. Radio Chaser on Triple M. Kennedy Malloy up next. Don't forget our podcast available after the show, triplem.com.au, wherever you get your podcasts.
Cat's pyjamas or cat's piss.
There are lots of weird customs for royal babies. Charles and Andrew, I just want to throw a few of them at you. The way they announce a royal birth when all has gone well, still in 2018, is by putting a whopping great easel outside the palace with a little card on it saying that the child's been born. What do you think? Should they still be doing that today?
No, they shouldn't. That's cat's piss. They should just announce it on Instagram and Twitter like everyone else.
Bloody easel. It's absolute cat's piss. I mean, especially nowadays, that's just, if that's not inviting everybody to come and draw dicks and balls, well, I mean, that's an artist's sort of surface, isn't it? Good.
I feel like Harry would enjoy that if you did that.
A swastika on the easel.
Now, we do always make that joke. Now, the other thing they do when a new baby is born. Extraordinary. A 62-gun salute from the Tower of London to welcome the royal baby. Is that a good idea?
No, that's cat's piss as well. 62. How, like, to welcome the baby into the world, they do 62 times of 62 a really loud noise when it's trying to sleep. That's just torture. That's horrible.
It's an alarming thing for a newborn, sort of trying to come to terms with the world, and there's all these people pointing rifles and blasting bullets into the skies of London.
Do you think it's inspired by what Prince Harry did 9 months earlier?
Anyway, you reckon he did it 62 times?
Finally, actually, what they do for the baptism is they actually fly in water from the River Jordan so that they can be baptised. It's been going for a very long time. It's proper Jordan water, like Jesus himself was baptised.
Yeah, cat's pyjamas. Great use of the British taxpayers' money, I'd say, to make sure these baptisms are done in the proper biblical style. You wouldn't want to baptise somebody with London tap
or Thames water.
Look what it does to their teeth.
But I've been to Jordan, and it's basically a big desert. So that's a really horrible thing to take.
They haven't got much water to go around
from a desert. Like,
they need every drop, don't they, over there?
Bastards.
They're
just bastards.
Can you stop having royal babies? We need that to drink.
All right, Kennedy Malloy coming up next on Triple M. We're back from 3 tomorrow. And don't forget our new podcast, Cat's Pyjamas with the Chaser, available now. Longer and historical versions of this very subject segment. Catch you tomorrow.